Please look in your Bibles in the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. Hebrews, chapter 3. Today is Sunday, September the 28th, 2025. We're going to begin in Hebrews. Hebrews, chapter 3. This morning, two questions. Does it matter? And does it make a difference? And spoiler alert, the answer to both questions is yes. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Verse 5 says, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house, God's house, as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. It's kind of interesting here. Moses was not only faithful in all of God's house, but Jesus Christ faithfulness is compared to the faithfulness of Moses. Isn't that awesome? For 40 years, day after day, Moses stayed faithful to God. Did it matter that Moses stayed faithful to God? Did it make a difference? Absolutely. If you look in the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, we sang that song this morning. Daniel was a man of prayer. And that song comes from the record in the book of Daniel chapter 6, which Dave read a verse or two from that. Daniel chapter 6, probably familiar with what happened there in Daniel chapter 6. Where is Daniel? Wait a second. Right after Ezekiel. Where is Ezekiel? Oh, bless your hearts. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius, he's the king, to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. So this is how he set his government up. There'd be 120 princes. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, the presidents, and the king should have no damage. So that's how he set his government up, 120 princes. Now let's see, I need three presidents, okay. And this Daniel, verse 3, was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Quite a man. Quite a man. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Let's see if we can find where he is messing up in government affairs and government issues and all of this stuff. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he, Daniel, was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Isn't that amazing? Hard to find a government official like that, isn't it? Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. And I think you know how this record goes. They went to the king, Darius, and said, hey, we got an idea for a great law. How about if we set up a law that for 30 days, if anyone prays to anyone except you, O great king, let's have him executed, thrown into a den of lions. That's a death sentence, right? Daniel was faithful. He had massive responsibility in the kingdom. He was right at the top, kind of like Joseph, remember? Joseph ended up being at the top. But Daniel was faithful. They couldn't find any fault with him. And he was not only faithful in carrying out his responsibilities, but he was faithful to God. And you're familiar with the record. We won't read all of it. But when they made this law, and it was the law of the Medes and Persians, which meant in that time, with that law, it cannot be changed. You can't go, well, here's an exception. Law is the law. Can't change. And so Daniel, as Dave read that verse, he was a man of prayer. And part of his faithfulness to God included praying three times a day. I'm sure that wasn't the only thing he did, but that was part of his faithfulness to God. And so when this law came out, he didn't change anything, went to his house and prayed like he always did, with the windows open, fine. Whatever. Now here's something interesting. How old was Daniel at this time? You know, it's kind of funny. It's, you know, Dave mentioned it's a children's song that we sing. What a great lesson for all of us. But how old was he? He was taken captive, if you're familiar with the first part of the book of Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar came in. And they date that around 605 BC. And he was a young man, teenager more than likely. 605 BC. The record we're looking at here in Daniel 6 takes place after the Medes and Persians took over the Babylonian Empire around 539 BC. 66 years later, he's a man around 80 years old. I'm going to throw you in the den of lions. But he stayed faithful to God. And as you know in the record, he did get thrown in the den of lions. And as we sang in the song, God just shut the lion's mouth. Didn't harm him. King came the next day. Daniel, are you okay? Daniel came out and the king was so upset that they did this to Daniel. Obviously, the king thought Daniel was pretty special, wanted to put him over the whole thing. So all those that devised that very wicked and evil plan, they and their whole families are all thrown into the den of lions. And I think it says the lions start chomping on them before they even hit the ground. Isn't that something? Did it make a difference for Daniel to stay faithful his whole life? Did it matter? Absolutely. Absolutely. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Does it really matter? Does it really make a difference? We're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, we can read in the Bible about people who did not stay faithful. There's certainly people that you can see in the scriptures that did not stay faithful to God. But there are many people in the Bible who did stay faithful to God. And sometimes it says it specifically that they are faithful, like here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Timothy was faithful. God's word even says that. He was a faithful man. Did it make a difference that Timothy was faithful? Did it matter? Certainly it did. You know, at the end of Paul's life, he wrote in 2 Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have kept the right way of believing. Paul was faithful his whole life, faithful to God his whole life. Did it matter that he was faithful to God his whole life? We get to read scripture. I guess so. Did it make a difference? Absolutely. What about Peter? Shortly before he died, and we know it was shortly before he died because he says so in 2 Peter, shortly before he died, God gave him revelation to write his second epistle, and he was still faithful and preaching God's word. So what about you and me? In this first epistle of Corinthians in chapter 4, look at verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. Faithful. Does it really matter if you and I stay faithful? faithful our whole life? Does it make a difference if you and I were to stay faithful our whole lives? Really, the greatest reason why we can stay faithful to God our whole lives is because our God is faithful. He's faithful to His Word. He's faithful to what He promised. In chapter 1 of this epistle of 1 Corinthians, verse 9 says, chapter 1, verse 9, it says, God is what? God is faithful. God is faithful. He's trustworthy. We can absolutely trust Him. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful. And so when it comes to God's will, if we're going to be faithful to our God, well, what is God's will? Sometimes people say, I don't know what God's will for my life is. Well, we can read in Timothy where it says, God will have all people to be saved and to come unto a knowledge of the truth. So what's God's will for my life, for your life? We're already saved, but then God would have us come to a knowledge of the truth, of His Word. How much knowledge do we need? I mean, how much? I think last week we looked at grace and peace multiplied to you through a knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, right? Grace and peace multiplied to us. The more that we learn from the Word of God what God has done for us in the new birth, what God has made us to be, what God has given us because of the completed work of His Son, Jesus Christ, out of love and gratitude, we stay faithful. Just out of love and gratitude for what God has done for us, we stay faithful because God's faithful to His Word, so we don't budge. We stay put and we endeavor to continue to grow in that knowledge of God and His Word. Take a look at Luke chapter 8. Are you familiar with the parable of the sower? I think we've looked at that a few times over the past years. And I thought this morning it would be good, along this topic of being faithful, I thought it would be good and profitable for us to look at Jesus Christ's explanation of the parable. And it comes up in three gospel records. Luke chapter 8, we're looking at the explanation. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Remember in the parable, a sower went out and sowed some seed. So he's explaining it. The seed is the Word of God. Those, and there's four kinds of ground, four types of receiving God's Word, if you will. Verse 12, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Second group, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. Yay, I like this. This is great. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Third group, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. That's the four types of ground there. If you look at Matthew, back up to Matthew chapter 13, we'll read again. Matthew 13, and it starts in verse 19. Well, verse 18 says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received word by the wayside. He heard it, but he didn't get any understanding and just gone. Verse 20, but he that receives the seed into stony places, the same is he that hears the word, and anon immediately with joy receives it, yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. Verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But, verse 23, he that receives seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, which also beareth fruit, and he bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And in Mark chapter 4, Mark 4, verse 14. The sower sows the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Where would it enter in? Into your thinking, into your mind, thoughts. And finally, verse 20, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. We want to be in the good ground category, don't we? And keep the word, not budge from it, stay faithful. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Remember we looked a few minutes ago in Corinthians where the Apostle Paul spoke very highly of Timothy and said he was faithful. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, right at the end, this is what Paul by revelation said to this faithful man, Timothy. 1 Timothy 6, 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. Keep it. He was a faithful man. And yet Paul said, keep it. Don't budge. Stay faithful. And that's because just because a man is faithful today doesn't mean he's going to be faithful tomorrow. It's a day-by-day decision to be faithful to God. Today I'm going to remain faithful to God. Can't live tomorrow. Yesterday is gone. It's just a day-by-day. Look at 1 John chapter 5. You have to be in the good ground group to stay faithful. I think we saw that from the parable, right? 1 John 5, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. We keep his word. And his commandments are not grievous. We keep it. We don't let it go. Does it matter? Does it really matter if you or I stay faithful our whole lives to God? Does it? Does it make a difference? Benefits of staying faithful to God. First of all, it will bring great blessings to your personal life. As we stay faithful, we develop spiritual maturity. And spiritual maturity has nothing to do with age. The older you get, the more spiritually mature. No. Spiritual maturity has to do with growth, not necessarily with age. We develop spiritual maturity. You know, after spending, what was it, a year and a half in Corinth. Remember Paul's in Thessalonica, then he went to Berea, then down to Athens, then he went to Corinth. He was there for about a year and a half. Sometime later, after he left, he wrote the epistle of 1 Corinthians. Let's go back there. We were there earlier. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. Look what Paul told them Wouldn't you love to have Apostle Paul come and spend like a year and a half? Wouldn't you have loved to have been in Ephesus where he was there for, what, 2 years, 3 months? Somewhere around there where he taught daily in the school of Tyrannus? I'd have been there every day. I'm here. I want to learn. I want to grow. But he was there in Corinth, and yet this is what he wrote to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, back when he was there, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So when I was with you, you were babies. You weren't very spiritually mature. And that's why he said in verse 2, I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto, meaning when he was there, you were not able to bear it. You weren't able to handle the meat of the word. Neither yet now are you able. You're still babies. You haven't grown. For you're yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envies and strifes and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Paul said they were still babies after the personal time that he had spent with them. They just had lots of conflicts with themselves, envies, strifes, divisions, blah, 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 all this stuff going on. And so he said he couldn't feed them the meat of, well, what is the meat of the word? Look at Hebrews chapter 5. The meat of the word, or the milk of the word. And what a great analogy that God uses, because we can all relate to that, because we've all seen babies. You know, Cheryl, when Carly brought home little Luna, did you bring a burger for little Luna? Here you go, Luna, I got you a cheeseburger. I bet you'll like this. No, babies can't handle solid food. It takes a while for them to grow to get to the point of doing that. And what a great analogy God uses concerning his word. And we see this real clearly in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Of whom, and it's speaking of Jesus Christ, because in the verses previous to this, he was talking about Jesus Christ. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Wow, what a section. I'd like to read that to you from Reverend Cummins' Working Translation, starting in verse 11. We have much word from God to say about him, and it's difficult to explain to you because you have become dull of hearing. That tells us that you can become dull of hearing. That would be not staying faithful, wouldn't it? You have become dull of hearing. Verse 12. Even though you ought to be teachers by this time, you have need for someone to teach you again the elementary principles of the first declarations of God, and you have come to need milk rather than solid food. Moreover, everyone who partakes of milk is inexperienced in the word of justice, for he is an infant. And then verse 14. However, solid food is for the mature ones, who because of practice have their faculties trained to discern both good and evil. Isn't that something? How can a person discern good and evil? What's good? What's evil? How do you decide? Is it what they think? You know, that sounds a lot like Genesis 3. Sounds a lot like what the serpent told Eve. You don't need God. You're going to be like gods, able to discern good and evil. You'll be able to decide. And, you know, ever since then, I mean, it's so obvious. people believe what they want to believe. Whatever feels right to them, this is right. I'll decide what's good for me and what's evil for me. How can you rightly discern good and evil? You can't without God's word. God said in the book of Jeremiah, when he said, my people have committed two evils. Didn't say the pagans, didn't say the Gentile. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out cisterns. Their own way of thinking, their own way of deciding what's best, what's right, what's not right. They have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. God would have us to stay faithful to his word. The only way that we can truly discern good and evil is from a knowledge of God and his word, because his word is truth and it's the final answer. Did it really matter and did it make a difference in Daniel's personal life to stay faithful to God? He was faced with being executed, thrown into a den of lions, but he had the spiritual maturity which gave him great confidence to absolutely trust God in that situation. So, benefits of staying faithful. Firstly, staying faithful brings great blessings to our personal lives. Secondly, will be a blessing to others. Immature believers lack love and other things, but they lack love because they lack gratitude for what God has already done for them. They stay focused on their problems rather than focusing on their God. Joseph, what a story. Joseph, he could have spent after his brothers, they want to kill him. I want to kill my brother. No, let's not do that. Let's sell him. Don't we call that human trafficking? Let's sell him. Sold his brother into slavery. He ends up in Egypt and Potiphar buys him. What did he do to deserve that? He could have spent his whole life feeling sorry for himself, being depressed, being so resentful and hateful of his brothers for doing that, blah, blah, blah. But he didn't. He didn't do that. He stayed faithful to his God. And he didn't get his deliverance in one day. It took like around 17 years. And through that time, he did so great at Potiphar's place. But then you know what? Potiphar's wife lied about him and he got thrown in prison. A faithful man. And yet he endured and stayed faithful. Did it make a difference in Joseph's personal life for him to stay faithful? Did it matter? Oh, absolutely it did. He stayed fit. I just did a podcast yesterday and mentioned some of the stuff about Joseph. So secondly, benefits. Those who stay faithful and grow in their understanding and believe what God has done for them, they can manifest God's love to others. Does that matter? Does it really matter that we are loving to others? Does it really make a difference? How many people have you blessed in your life that maybe one day came up to you years later and said, remember when you told me this and that? Remember that time you called me up and prayed for me? Remember the time, remember? And you're like, no. Does it matter that we manifest God's love to people? Does it really make a difference? Yes, absolutely. And thirdly, in benefits of staying faithful to God, do you know what God has planned? Look at 1 Peter 3. Familiar verse to us. Verse 15, 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you of a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and reverence, not with ego, but with meekness and reverence. Be ready. Be ready. Be ready. This teaching kind of came about. I was chatting with Missy last week, and I said, does it really matter that we do this fellowship here every week? Does it really matter? Does it really make any difference if we do this? I mean, there are hundreds and hundreds of places people can go right in this area that we live in, right? And so here we endeavor to stay focused on growing in the right understanding of God's word and loving one another. That's what we do, right? And we're a small group, right? You know something? Numbers don't matter. Because, you know, sometimes you hear people talk about, no, I attend over there. You know, they have 1,000 people every Sunday that go there. And that's wonderful. That's okay. Remember Jesus Christ when he did the loaves and fishes? There were 5,000 men besides women and children. So that's a pretty nice crowd, around 15,000 people maybe, somewhere around there. In his resurrected body, he did a meeting that we know had 500 people, over 500 it says. On the road to Emmaus, he spent an hour and a half going through the whole Old Testament with two guys. He didn't say, hey, get a crowd together because I got some really good Bible to teach. I'm going to go through the whole Old Testament with you guys. So Cleopas and your buddy there, get a whole crowd together. Numbers didn't matter to him. The woman at the well, what did he share with her? Oh, my goodness. So numbers don't matter. And yeah, we're a small group and we're getting older. Look around. We can't stop it. We're getting older. That's fine. But what did God say? Be ready to you and me. Be ready. Are we ready? Ready for what? So that we could be about our Father's business. That's what. What if you ran into someone tomorrow who really was looking for some answers? Are you ready? What if there came a time when there was a true God-inspired revival? Are we ready? Are we ready? Are we continuing to grow in God's word, staying faithful to his word, so that we could truly help new believers, people looking for answers like we were at one time? There were people that helped us. I won't mention his name, but for we first, I don't know, we'd been in the Word for about a year, and we moved to Phoenix, and somebody was staying with us for a couple of weeks, and I just bugged him with questions all the time. Hey, well, what about this? What about this? So we sit down at supper, and he goes, look, no Bible questions while we're eating here, okay? And I'm like, okay, that's fine. We'd be halfway through the meal, and I go, you know, in the book of Acts, when Paul, he's like, oh, please. There were people that helped us get to where we are, that loved us, spoke God's word to us. Be ready always to give an answer to any man that asks you a reason of the hope that's in you. So, does it really matter if we stay faithful to praying to our loving God? Does it really matter if we stay faithful in reading and studying the scriptures so that we can continue to grow? Does it really matter if we stay faithful to what God has told us to do in his word? To stay faithful, his commandments, his word is not grievous to us, right? We just read that. Does it matter and does it really make a difference if we stay faithful and keep growing in our knowledge of God's word for the rest of our lives? Does it matter? Is it important? Yes, absolutely. It'll have a very blessed impact on our personal lives as we develop that spiritual maturity. Well, how much spiritual maturity? Long as you live. Long as you live, right? And what that does for us in our personal life is that our confidence in trusting God continues to grow so that we, when we need his help, we have great confidence in our God. Secondly, we grow in our ability to manifest the love of God to others. And thirdly, we'll be ready. We'll be ready. I'd like to close in Hebrews chapter 12. I actually just added this last part last night. I was getting ready to go to bed, and I was thinking about some of this stuff and came out here and sat down, and I went, I think I'll just do this. So, not to make this longer, but actually go to Hebrews 11, if you would. God has showed us in His Word many people in the Bible that just didn't quit and stayed put in very difficult situations. How about Job? What a righteous man, great man that he was. I mean, when you read the first few verses of Job, he is an awesome guy. Look what he went through. He lost everything, and then he lost his health. He lost everything except his wife. And she said, why don't you just curse God and die? Thanks, honey. But he stayed faithful. He didn't charge God foolishly, and he got the deliverance. What about Joseph? We talked about Joseph. Look how that man just stayed faithful. What about Moses? Holy cow. Oh, well, the stuff Moses went through. Faithful for 40 years, didn't budge. And at the end of his life, when he wrote Deuteronomy, it was like, all right, I'm laying it out. Just was such a faithful man. Some of the prophets that you can read about, the things that they went through, like Jeremiah, and how ill-treated he was. At one point, they buried him in poop up to his neck. Just trying to shut him up. And I think there's a place in Jeremiah, I'm not sure. Don't remember where it is, where he was like, I'm done. I'm not going to speak anymore. And then he said, but his word was like a roaring fire inside me. I'm weary with forbearing. I'm not going to quit. And all these people that you see in the Bible, they could have quit. Who would have blamed him? Hey, Jeremiah, you know, if we could read in the Bible where he said, I'm done with all this. I packed my bags. I'm heading to Egypt. You guys figure it out. Who would have blamed? But they stayed faithful. How about Elijah? Public enemy number one. With a death sentence from good old Jezebel. He didn't quit. Stayed faithful. And we can read here in Hebrews 11, look at verse 32. After listing some wonderful, great believers. Verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets who, through faith, through believing, subdued kingdoms. Did it really matter that they stayed faithful? Yeah, it did. Who, through believing, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Oh, guess who that was? Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through believing, received not the promise, meaning they didn't get to see the Savior. God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Those faithful people there in the Old Testament that we can read about never got to see the Savior come. They knew He was coming. They believed He was coming. Just like we are believing to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And hopefully in our lifetime we will. But if not, we can follow that example, can't we? And just stay faithful. Stay faithful. And you know, all those people in the Old Testament, they were human just like you and I are human, right? And so many of them went through things that we just can't even imagine. You know, when you read in Corinthians where Paul talks about all the crap that he went through, all the beatings, and he never quit. He never went, you know what? I've done enough. I don't want to be beaten anymore. I don't want to go through shipwrecks anymore. I don't want to go... I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Remember when Paul said, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, and I besought the Lord three times to take this away from me. And what was the answer? My grace is sufficient for thee. And you can read in Corinthians where Paul says, he delivered us, and we trust that he'll continue to deliver us. And it was because of Paul's spiritual maturity. And of course, the greatest example of all has to be our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his faithfulness. It's kind of where we started this morning, right? Moses' faithfulness, Jesus Christ's faithfulness. Look at all he went through. And God's word says he always did the Father's will. And he was human just like we are. He had feelings. He felt pain, and yet not budging, staying faithful. So we keep reading chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, all these examples from the Old Testament that are in chapter 11, that's the great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We just stay put and keep moving day by day. And one of the great ways to do it is looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of the right way of believing, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You haven't resisted unto blood, striving unto sin. I haven't resisted unto blood, have you? No, we haven't. Great benefits in staying faithful. And you know what we could add to that list? Rewards. God has promised us rewards. I have fought the good fight, Paul said in 2 Timothy. I have fought the good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto also unto them that love his appearing. God has promised us rewards. God's keeping score. It doesn't matter if other people aren't keeping score. You know, I did all these nice things and they don't appreciate this. It doesn't matter. God's keeping score. It says in Hebrews, God's not unrighteous to forget our labor of love, how we've ministered to the saints. God's keeping score. I heard someone once say that man gives awards. You know, they have award shows all the time for this, that. Man gives awards, God gives rewards. And he has promised in his word that he will reward us. Isn't that something? So, yes, yes, yes. It really does matter, and it really does make a difference if we stay faithful. And before I pray, one final thought, and maybe we'll look at this next week. Does it really matter if we rightly divide the scriptures?
Yes.
Father, thanks for your wonderful word, and God, how faithful you are. And you are and have been and still are a great delivering and powerful God. Thank you for all that you've freely given to each one of us in the new birth because of what your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, did for all of us. Thank you that we have your written word, that we could know the truth, that we could grow in our knowledge, to have our minds disciplined and practiced to discern between good and evil. Thank you for calling us to this wonderful one body, God, that we have brothers and sisters and we all have different personalities, different things, but we are all in one body, your children, and God, that we could just love one another. And Father, may our love be like your love. We love people where they're at, not where we think they should be. And that's how you love us. God, I pray that we could just day by day be faithful to you as we wait for that great and blessed day when you send our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ back to come and get us. And I pray for these things in his name. Amen.